Dan and Martin with you. It is a Monday as the Cardinals wrap up their series with the Phillies, and it's brought to you by Mark Milton. If you're currently sideways with the IRS, make sure you check it out, stltaxlawyer.com. You have any kind of issues with your taxes, you go to Mark Milton, stltaxlawyer.com. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
Dan, it's been a while. These were our weekly segments that we joked we would do every couple of weeks. And then you're traveling now. You're a big shot again. You're a very busy guy.
You're
on the TV. You're on the radio. I can't avoid Dan when it comes to Cardinal coverage.
I'm very important. Just ask me.
I've been wanting to catch up with you. Then I had a COVID spell after 2+ years getting the shots and all of this, wearing the mask. I did everything right. And I think recently I was bragging to people how I never got it. And it was about a week later, I got it. So Father's Day weekend, Dan, I spent alone in my office, sleeping on the couch, and the family.
The home office,
yeah, not at Fox 2. No, I was not.
They did not isolate you at Fox 2.
No, I was not camped out next to the weather center at work. I was in my home. We have a little desk area, and there's a couch in there. So I said, I'll just stay there, isolate. And there was an out-of-town, our daughter had a lacrosse tournament, so my wife went to that. I was by myself for about 3 days. There's a computer in there. And I was just fine.
Well, COVID had some benefits for a dad that is running all over the place because then you got a little time by yourself.
And I would walk around outside, and I was probably in my pajamas, be like, what's wrong with you? He's finally gone senile. But I feel much better.
What were your symptoms?
I just had like a little runny nose, cold symptoms, average cold symptoms, but it just kind of persisted. So I tested, and I'm like, I'll be damned after all. Because I had gone in the last 2 years at the height of all of this. I'd been to the urgent care because if you're around somebody or you thought you were sick, I was constantly getting tested. Probably 5 or 6 times where I went to the lab or whatever. Never had it. So I was like, I don't have it. Finally got it. And my doctor friend's like, just don't test yourself. Everybody's going to get it. And I was like, yeah, I never got it. I was bragging about it. And then boom. But I was fine. About 3 days of just kind of sitting around. By that fourth or fifth day, you're really restless. Because you can't sit still.
No. I'm always running around.
If Dan gets COVID, he'll start another website. He'll
probably. Like, COVID.com/scoops. Scoops part two.
Deuce.
The deuce with scoops. If you had to say, okay, you're at a venue. Let's say you're going to a concert. How many people do you think have had it or have it at that place?
At that particular moment?
Yeah.
No, that's a great question. This is why we're locked in with Martin and Dan.
Locked in.
Every once in a while,
what do you think the percentage is? It's got to be 60 to 70.
That have either, okay, I would say that have it, walking around that have it, and maybe don't even know it. I have no idea. I'd say 10%, but then already had it, 40 to 50, so that'll get you to about 60.
Yeah.
They either have it or had it for sure. And we're back to being around people all the time, so you can't avoid it. You just, if you think you're sick, you get tested, okay, then you just kind of shut her down for a few days.
Yep.
I did a lot of paperwork. You know what I did? My wallet looked like George Costanza.
That's what I have.
Saving receipts, people's business cards from like 8 years ago. I said, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind having my windows washed. Give me your card.
Yeah.
I'm like, the hell is this still doing in here? Cleaned up my wallet. Little things like that, it was very productive. But again, after 3-4 days, you get a little restless.
What's the rule now? So if you get it, you have to do what?
I think, well, when I reached out to a doctor friend, he said it's a 5-day quarantine. So that was the 5 days in the office. And, you know, I'd put a mask on if I walked through the house to go to the bathroom. Nothing's perfect. But then it was 5 days with a mask after that. But my problem was, a good problem to have, I got COVID right before I went on a 9-day vacation. So Mandy Murphy texted me. She said, did you retire? And I'm like, well, no, I was out sick and then vacation. So it just sort of all rolled into one. But it's good to be with you, Dan.
Well, it's great to be with you. Glad that you're healthy. Glad it wasn't a serious issue for you. I assume you watched a lot of baseball.
Watched a lot of baseball. Listened to a lot of baseball. Enjoying hearing you on the radio.
I'm loving it.
So I have my Uncle Mike in Minnesota. He's a St. Louis guy, but he's lived in Minnesota forever. Lives and dies with the Cardinals. And he's one of those older guys who complains about everything. But I see him at my cousin's lake house in Wisconsin. That sounds pretentious. They live there. They're retired. My cousin is there. And my Uncle Mike, in his 80s, He's complaining about MLB TV and he can't see the games and they buy it. He's confused. I pull out my phone and I hit the Odyssey app because I can get Cam Wax on it. Within 10 seconds, you're talking. He said, no, wait a minute. Is that the TV? And I said, no, that's Dan McLaughlin. He goes, no, I know. But what did you just pull? So blue is mine
because
he's complaining about the MLB TV. And I said, just do this. And it's Cam Wax, but it's you. And now he can't wrap his head around the fact that you're on the radio. So he's like, how'd you get the TV on your phone? It's not the TV. It's, oh, forget it.
Well, John Klabes and Ricky have been great to me. It's been fun. We all enjoy it. And it's the way it should be, to where we're all kind of interchangeable parts and being able to do the games. For me, it's fun. It takes me back to why I first got into doing this, which was I did a ton of radio play-by-play in college, like we probably all did if you were in communications and you were gravitating towards going on the air. So I was calling all kinds of high school basketball and football and you name it, I was doing it. So it's kind of gotten me back to my roots of why I did this in the first place. And it's the theater of the mind. You're painting the picture. It's that's what makes it fun. And I think it's good that that fans hear me in a different realm and then hear those guys in a different realm too, because we have different ways that we do the game or different viewpoints or how we see things. So that's all been cool, man. I love it.
Have you had to adjust? Because radio, obviously, it's more specific. You have to, you have to tell a lot more detail. And on TV, 1 year, I think it's when you were out, and Scott Highmark and I did the basketball high school games. And the director after that, I had not done TV basketball. And after the game, the director said, maybe a little less play-by-play. He said, because it's on TV.
That's right.
I had not wrapped my head around it, and I just got thrown in sort of at the last minute, some of Dan's scraps back in the day. And I thought about it. It makes sense. You're watching it. You can see that Tyler Hansborough has the ball. You can see he's on the you know. And so I'm sure for you, TV is a lot of asking Jim Edmonds who texted him, and then radio is a lot more of the actual play-by-play.
Wait a minute, dude. Hold on. What?
In my notes,
I
keep Dan notes, okay?
I know. Go ahead.
And one of them was, how much fun do you have kind of giving Jimmy a hard time?
Oh, I love it.
Because Jimmy Edmonds, he brings it on himself sometimes.
For sure.
And I'm sure he doesn't mind.
Well,
and
he
didn't you just say the other day, I have no idea what you're talking about?
I did, because I didn't know what he was talking about. And he didn't pick up on it until this homestand from a previous statement when we were in Milwaukee, when I said, I said, well, Joe Blow's on the IL, this guy's on the IL, and I just got done with my stint on the IL carrying you. And it kind of flew over Jimmy's head, and he's like, yeah, you know, you're always putting me on your back. And I said, no, I mean, like, carry you through this broadcast. Oh, but it didn't click. And then the other day, I said the 2 day IL for broadcasters, and then it clicked.
Okay.
Then he got it.
He might be on a delay, so he was.
It could be on his phone.
It could be on his phone.
Who knows?
He gets a lot of texts.
He's well connected.
I love Jimmy Ballgame. And then the other day, I'm at the neighborhood Schnucks, and there's a picture of Jim that says he'll be here Sunday at 9 a.m. And I thought that's an early start for Jimmy, man of the people.
Well,
kudos
Jimmy's
to him.
Got a lot of kids, and they're up early. So Jimmy's up early.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, 9 a.m.
Now, this sounds like the Seinfeld where Jimmy talked about himself in the third person. Jimmy's up early. Jimmy's at the Schnucks. Anyway, I can tell, and you can get away with it, that he opens it up to where you can poke him a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's easy to. So he's never mad at you.
No.
He doesn't care.
God, no. He doesn't care. He's just fun. It is amazing, like, when he is really locked in. The stuff that he brings up, and I've been doing games, Martin, for 25 years. Every inning of Cardinal baseball just about I've seen over the last 25 years. And my point is, I see a lot, I pick up a lot, and I talk to people, and then they'll make me think of, like, hey, watch this specifically. And there's stuff that he sees that I don't see. And I'm not saying I know everything, and I'm not saying I pick up everything. I see a lot, I know a lot. In terms of the Cardinals, and he'll come up with stuff that I just can't even imagine. Like, he is a savant. You know, it's just, I've always said it. Jimmy, Albert, Yachty, and Chris Carpenter, they thought the game and think the game at a different level than other players. They just see it differently.
I remember him as a player, and it was, hey, oh, it's Hollywood Jimmy that we're getting from the Angels. He's a showman. He's going to dive. And then he's here a couple of years, and you start hearing La Russa tell the story how Edmonds noticed them tipping pitches. He would tell the pitcher what he was doing wrong. I'm like, wait a minute. This sort of perception of Jim as being flaked out a little bit is not accurate.
No.
When it comes to, he's locked in on the game and his phone at this point with you.
Yes.
But he is in tune with stuff. And Mike Shannon was this way, because you hear him.
Yes.
He would be up there laughing and, you know, telling a story about an old general that he was fishing with. And then he would say, this guy's about to bunt. And you're like, what? And he's like, he's going to put a bunt down. And the next guy would bunt. And you're like, he absolutely knew. And Whitey is the same way, I would say, too, where they've been around the game forever, but they miss nothing, despite all three of those being very colorful people, great storytellers, and you'd love to sit around and just yuck it up with them. But when it comes to the game, they're noticing stuff that most people aren't.
Oh, yeah.
To Jim's credit, but I love how you give them a hard time.
Well, they see it at a different level, and Jimmy is fun. Jimmy, as you know, you've been around him a lot. He likes to have fun.
Yep.
And so I think sometimes the game can bore him, and so if you can have a little fun with him and give him trouble, and I don't mean that in a bad way that it bores him. I mean, they're long games, and guys are taking forever. That stuff happens.
It happens.
And sometimes, you know, when you've been doing this since Jimmy could walk, you know, you're just kind of like, really? You know, I get it. I understand that. Now, you hit on something earlier that I found really interesting. So I emceed three events over the weekend, two concerning like ticket holders and suite holders. Bill DeWitt, the third, was speaking at this. And he said he just came back from the MLB meetings. And he said one of the biggest issues they are hearing from fans, and it has to be addressed, and they will address it, is how do we get the games to everybody on TV? You know, if you have a certain carrier, or why would I sign up for MLB.TV if I want to just watch the Cardinals and I sign up for it, but yet I'm in my hometown, I get blacked out. So they know that is, so tell your uncle, they know it's a major issue, and they're trying to rectify it some way, somehow. I mean, it's just, the industry has changed. I mean, you know this too. The 5-10 years ago, you know, you had your DirecTV or whatever it was, and all your channels were there, and you knew to go get Fox Sports Midwest. Well, then people started cutting cords, and then it started to where you could bundle this stuff or just get what you wanted. I want to pay for HBO, and I want to pay for MLB.TV, whatever. So they know that.
Why do you hate the Outdoor Life Network?
I love it, actually.
Is that still a thing?
I don't think it is. I don't think
it
is. Why does
Dan not want Spike TV on his cable package? Okay.
Because that, I think Spike TV had the OJ trial where John Travolta played one of the lawyers. I can't remember who it was.
Sounds right. Was he the Kardashian lawyer?
No, he was not. He was Shapiro.
Shapiro. Yeah. That's right. Robert, who then started the tax thing years later.
Yeah. So anyway, it's being worked at, and I agree with him. They've got to find a way to do it, because baseball is such a, it's not the, like MLS just signed a major streaming deal. Football is on national television once a week, you know, typically speaking, or that one game a night on Monday Night Football or Thursday night or whatever. Baseball is every night, and it's regional. So when I hear people say, and I'm going in a different way here, and I don't know if you agree with this, but when I hear, well, baseball's a dying sport, I'm like, no, it's not. Look at the ratings that these local entities are getting. Like the other day, we were number one in the market by, even if you added up all the other stations, like at our peak, we still had a higher rating than everybody else combined, because there's an interest for that sport. There are people in these markets that love those teams. And so, yeah, the average age of a fan is this. Fine. But they're still watching games. It's on at the bars, the restaurants. Kids are getting it on their phones. Like my son is a great example. So he loves golf. He stopped playing baseball at a young age to dedicate his life to basketball, golf, and now it's all golf. But he is texting me more this year than he ever has about, why isn't this guy up? Because he plays fantasy sports, and he watches all the games. And so he gets done playing golf from 8 in the morning till it's dark, goes home, watches some of the game, but he's getting highlights on his phone. That's the other part that sports is trending towards in a big way.
Are the bookies at the door in the morning, Dan, looking?
Not yet. I say yet.
No, there's no doubt it's changing. The kids are watching the highlight clips later at night or seeing it the next day. And I'm glad to hear they're going to do something about it. Because it is it's a struggle for a lot of people. If you're in Iowa and you can't watch the Cards or the Cubs, it's stupid. You should be able to, wherever you're living, if you want a certain team, you should be able to see it.
Absolutely.
That's just silly.
Yeah.
All right, I had written down, too, Dan hung out with Bob Uecker. Now, I'm trying to remember, when I wrote that down, it was a while ago. Did he come to the – did you go to his booth, or did you just visit before the game?
So, he came over to our booth. And the previous series we were there, I went into his booth, and he always says, if you're worth a bleep, they come to you. That's what he – and okay. So, always people are going to see him. And
I
he's
like
got
that.
By the way, he's got security with him at all times. And so he came over to our booth, and we talked for a while, and it was awesome. He was wanting to know how McCarver's doing, and we were talking about Gibby. We were talking about the 64 team. We were talking about Red. We were talking about his tenure in St. Louis. We were talking about the tuba in the 64 World Series that he got fined for. One of the great things about that, you know, everybody talks about him going out and shagging flies with a tuba, which is true. He did that. But McCarver said what never gets mentioned, and the thing that he noticed the most when Bob was doing it, was that Maris and Mantle were taking BP and watching Bob Uecker run around, or they were on the field, whatever they were doing. And he said, because at that time, you got to remember, for folks that are listening to this, and we have a lot of young fans that listen, you know, there was no interleague play. You weren't watching guys on television every night if you wanted to go see another player. He said these guys were like,
who's that?
Yeah, they were like, man, he's like, that's Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle over there laughing their asses off. And he's like, that's Mickey Mantle smiling. You know, like they were bigger than life for some of these players.
Right.
So
maybe it disarmed them a little bit.
I don't know. I mean,
got the Yankees off their game.
And so
maybe Miles Michaelis should bring a tuba out before the game.
I think Sage works.
Yeah.
That's when they had the 17 gamer, and now they won yesterday. So. That's I just think those kind of stories and visiting with those guys, it's awesome. And I asked Bob if he wants to go fishing. He fishes all the time, goes out on Lake Michigan and fishes early in the morning. So I may have a story for you because we're gonna try to line up.
Oh, that'd be
some,
great.
Yeah, we're gonna try to go line up some fishing next time I'm through.
Locked in with Martin and Dan here. Can I ask you about Ali Marmol? Because here is my take. I didn't know what to expect. We'd been around him a little bit. I have been very surprised at how candid he is with his answers.
I think fans appreciate it.
And I think it's...
By the way, Martin, I talked to Ali exactly about where you're going with this yesterday, but go
did
ahead.
Did you really? I think it's notable when they'll say, hey, what about so-and-so? Well, he needs to get deeper into a game.
Yeah.
Well, what about so-and-so? Well, if he can't get outs, he can't be in the big leagues. What about so-and-so? Well, if he's not going to hit, he's not going to be in the line. We're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Because usually, and I'm not saying he's hammering anybody, he's not... There's not scorched earth, but very direct, very candid. And for a young manager, first-time manager, I notice he's not afraid to be firm. And I think I'm surprised. I thought, well, he's young, and people, oh, he's a puppet for the front office. Well, then everything's fine, everything's great. On occasion, do managers torque the fans off? Yes, when they say, hey, we're trying hard, but they keep losing. Nobody wants to hear that. But on the whole, I think he has been very direct, very candid.
I would say this, too. It's not like the players haven't heard this from him directly, too. So he's got young guys on this team that when we're on the road, he's taking them to lunch and saying, hey, here are the expectations when you're in a game, but this is what we expect for you to do to prepare, to be better. We think this is going to make you a better player. And if you don't do these things, you won't be here because this is the numbers right now. I can show you these numbers of where you have to improve to be a better major leaguer, and we're investing in you, so it's in your best interest to do these things. I also think from a public perception, it nips a lot of things in the bud. So if you come out and just say, hey, the guy's got to be better, there's no innuendo, there's no follow-ups, he just addressed it, and you move on. And so I don't think the players sit there and go, man, this guy's bashing us. I don't think that at all, because he's addressed it privately first. And then when he does it publicly, it's just like, hey, I'm nipping this in the bud so it doesn't build into a bigger problem that we may have. And Ali, the other thing he'll do is, yeah, I muffed up that sixth inning change. I was thinking about doing that. I didn't do it. Didn't work out. That's on me. I mean, he'll say that too all the time. Like I visit with him. I try to visit with him every single day. I've never been around a manager that has been more open and honest with me behind the scenes. With some stuff I can use, other stuff I cannot use, but it gives me background. And the other thing, like Ali did for me the other day, and he's done this multiple times, is I've said to him, and I don't think I'm, you know, sharing something here that's, you know, going to hurt my relationship or hurt him, but I'll get a text before the game, and it'll say, Joe, John, and Martin are down today. So if that spot comes up, and you think sure. that this is the matchup, and it looks like it should be the matchup, they're down. I can't use them.
And that's huge in your position.
For sure it is.
Otherwise, you're guessing. And
well, and the other thing it does, though, it's great for me. Don't get me wrong.
But the fans now understand.
And what I can say is, in a way, it's going to protect him, too. So fans have all the access of stuff that I have numbers-wise. Fans have it at their fingertips, too. So when Martin is coming up and I should be going to Johan Oviedo or something, you know, whatever. You're 0 for 25 against him and the game's on the line and I don't go to Johan Oviedo. And everybody's like, why wouldn't he do that? Well, I easily can say in the eighth inning of that game, you know, they're not going to go to Oviedo. He's pitched 3 out of 4. And unless it's a dire situation, more than likely he's down today. So that's why you see, you know, whoever come in.
Packy's coming in.
Exactly. So, and fans can live with that. You know, he did a thing earlier this year where, and he said, hey, this guy's not in the lineup. He's out with a bad back. It later came out that that's why he was out. But I started the game by saying he's feeling a bit under the weather. And that's why he's not in the lineup. Now, I don't have to say he's got a bad back because if I do, I've just told the opposition he's got a bad back. May change how they pitch to him, and it could
might run on him late in the game or something.
All those things.
The reason the NHL is always so weird, upper body, lower body, they said we don't want them to know.
That's right.
It's a shoulder because they might hammer him a little more.
That's just, right.
That's the facts. This first came to light to me about a month ago when they couldn't get to the late relievers, when you couldn't get it to Helsley or Gallegos.
It happened the other day, too.
Yeah, and he said, I'm not going to Helsley. I'm not going because the writers are saying, hey, why not in that situation? He said, if we're down a run, down a two, I'm not going to those guys. That's not what they're here for. Other people need to get outs too. I think that
right.
was the line that stood out. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. Because
yep.
you can't, if Helsley gets you out of a big jam when you're down two, your only hope is that you're going to come back and win. Well, then who's pitching later?
That's right. And I think he's done a really, really good job with the bullpen because there's been times guys have been down and they've got to get him out of a game for like 3 days, you know, and you're like, where is this guy? Why? And then he'll stretch another guy playing a hunch, some numbers, and say, I'm going to try to squeeze 3 more outs out of this guy. And it works. And now all of a sudden, you've saved that guy. You've built the confidence of this guy that's in the game. And then you win the game ultimately, and then ultimately you win the series because the guy you set is now available in games 3 or 4. So that's the thing. You always manage to win, clearly. You manage for the now, but you definitely have an eye for tomorrow and the next day. And sometimes those things play out without people really knowing about it.
And one other example, and it was when he pinch hit for Albert and went with Nolan Gorman. Now, if Gorman wasn't an option, if there were some other guys who aren't hitting at all, I would have said, roll Albert back out there. But Nolan Gorman made sense. I didn't hear that many people complaining about it. I think it made sense. After the game, Ollie said, yeah, I did think it's a little weird taking out the greatest right-handed hitter.
Sure.
Weird position to be in. And now this is going to make me sound like a hypocrite because I saluted him for doing that. It was the right move. I think where they are now with so many hitters that are struggling, I'd roll Albert out more often because if guys are more than likely – and there's a whole bunch of them. They're going to make outs. I'd rather roll the dice with him and see if maybe something, not all the time, but more times than they were doing. And I understand the matchups are bad. He's bad against righties. But I'm sorry, there's a number of guys who are, their averages are so bad, I think every once in a while I would give it a shot.
Here's the problem, and I'm with you. And I said to Ollie, one of the first things we talked about this year is, I said, man, if I'm managing, and I said, again, I haven't seen Albert up close since he left. You know, just a few games here and there. My temptation is to use him a ton. And he said, my temptation is to use him a lot too. And when they started to do that, you saw him then production started to go the other way. And that's why when he was with the Dodgers, they used him, I mean, perfectly. It would wind up giving, you'd have that lefty at some point in a series, and he can still hit lefties. There's no doubt. come up, and then all of a sudden he's used in that big spot. Now, having said that, if you look at his at-bats the last week, he looks like a different player right now. Something has clicked. He's made an adjustment. He's seeing the ball better. Yesterday was a great example. And so, yeah, my temptation.
Even the
now,
out was a smash.
Yeah.
I mean, his last two starts, 5 for 7, small sample size. And I wouldn't be making, this is not just nostalgia. Hey, it's fun. Some people might argue, hey, I don't care. I just want to see him. Some people would make that argument. I'm not saying that. I just look at how many guys are hitting 150, 160, yep. 180. I'd say, man, if you're going to.
Well, I think it may change tonight. Yeah, I mean, because the way he's swinging the bat.
Yeah.
You know, you.
And again, I'm not stupid. He's not the player he was 10 years ago. I understand all of that. But because you have such an anemic offense in so many spots, every once in a while I'd say, you know what, I'm going to go against the numbers and just throw them out there because who the hell knows? It's Albert Pujols. Who
I
knows?
By the way, I have a little story to break for you. Cool story.
Did Jimmy just text you this?
No.
Okay.
No. Albert, I was emceeing the John Jay family fundraiser last night at Family Golf and Learning Center. And so one of the things you could do, and it was John Jay was there, obviously, Daniel Descalso, David Freese, Kyle McClellan.
Alan Craig?
Alan Craig was back.
Pujols showed up.
Well, that's where I'm going. Oh. So Ollie showed up later with his wife and two kids, but then Albert shows up and was there for a long time. And so he was not going to partake in the hole-in-one, and everybody's like, oh, come on, Albert, or closest to the pin. He's like, okay, I'll do it. So, of course, Albert wins the closest to the pin. He wins it. And so the winner was supposed to get, I think, like 4 tickets to a game and, you know, Champions Club passes or something like that. And I said, well, Albert, you know, I think you can get tickets to a game. So you won. Do you want to donate these back? How do you want? He goes, you know what? He said, for the highest bidder right now, and it was an intimate group, small group. He said, you know, I'll sign a couple of bats and 2 balls for you. I dropped my mic and said, I'll bid. And so somebody bid on it, won it. But he's in a different place. He is not the same guy that he was when he was in St. Louis. And this is not to say he was a jerk, because I'm not saying that. But he was just so focused and locked into his craft. You know, you understand. That's a guy that's in the prime of his career and one of the greatest players that we've ever seen. And when he was in that stage of his life in St. Louis, it was just different. And now understanding that this is it, the final run, he's taking it all in. And another story that I told somebody this morning, Dick Zitzman, who's represented Stan for all those years, we had breakfast. I've never seen an athlete do this, Martin. And I think we were in either Wrigley or Boston. And we get on the bus. Albert gets on the bus usually pretty quickly. He showers up and gets on. And there's just so many fans waiting to, you know, Albert, sign, please come out, take a picture.
Bring Dan with you.
Never got that. And so most of those guys, you know, they're on the bus and they get on their headphones or watch something or calling somebody. He was doing that, and then people were just kept going nuts, and he just took off his headset, put down his phone, went out there and signed for everybody. I've never seen a guy do that, and certainly never a guy at that level do that. He's taking it all in, and I think he's really enjoying it. And to have him bookend it with St. Louis, it's special for both parties.
No, I think 100% that he's a different guy because he doesn't have to be the 40 homer, 130 RBI, contending for an MVP. The demand is less. He can ease into it a little bit. He can have fun, hang out with the young guys. There's no doubt he is enjoying this farewell. Again, if he played 1 year in Baltimore or Cleveland, it would not be the same. It's the farewell. He could not have asked for a better final season after having left, other than staying the whole time. It could not have ended any better. Now he just needs Yachty to show up. I thought you were going to say he donated those seats to Yachty and said, hey, I got you great seats. Come join me at a game.
Everybody wants him back.
That's the missing piece right now, is get Molina back, get Waino and Molina. And I know people get tired of Albert, Yachty, Waino. They want the team to win. That's number one. The team needs to play better.
I think the second half they're going to be much better.
It's weird how they always seem to be better in the second half.
The injuries really have hurt this team a lot. I mean, if you had a healthy Flaherty at the top of your rotation,
for sure,
that stops losing streaks. I mean, he's a number one, and when he's right, he's as good as anybody in the league. But Bader and O'Neill, those are two big losses. And a good example would be the recent road trip, first game, bases loaded, Dansby Swanson up in the first inning, hits a fly ball to left center, and it drops. 3-run score. Came on a 3-2 pitch, so they were off and running. He makes that play. O'Neill probably makes that play. So those guys not being in there, just even from a defensive standpoint, it has made a dent on the club. So when they get them back, that should settle some things down.
That said, I've enjoyed seeing Dylan Carlson at center. That's been, I mean, I know he's not the everyday center fielder because you have Harrison Bader, but boy, he can hold his own out there.
Yeah.
That's been fun to watch.
He's been fine. I think some of the plays that maybe have been dramatic plays wouldn't be as dramatic with Bader out there, but Bader is elite. But I'm not taking anything away from Dylan, and he's great on the CarShield commercial with me. So I think that he's been just fine at center.
Dan, it's great to be locked in again. Let's do this more often, buddy.
Is this it?
Well, I don't know.
What else you got on your sheet?
I got my sponsors, of course, the Great Triad Bank, also a loyal sponsor of Scoops with Danny Mac. You know where they're located, on Clayton Road in Frontenac. They've got a second location, Dan. You knew that as well.
I did.
On Olive, just west of 270 for all your banking needs. It's Triad Bank. Marie Davila Senior Living, you mentioned Red Shandings. It's the anniversary of the All-Star Game home run by Red, and he lived at Marie Davila for many years. That's why I bring this up. But his line was great about that home run. He would always say, we're going to miss the train, so I had to hit a home run. They were all looking to get home from the All-Star Game, and if he didn't homer, it was the 14th or something at Comiskey. They would have missed their train ride home.
Red was the best.
He was. And he lived at Marie Davila Senior Living for so many years. You can check them out online at mariedavila.com. B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the bricks, and also Appliance Discounters, theappliancediscounters.com. I'm like the NASCAR guy, Dan. I rattled those off. Now,
yeah.
Mike, I will have a new list for you the next time we get together.
All right. That sounds
good. This has been great fun. Oh, I wrote a little note, too. This was to all of our listeners and to ourselves. Be nicer, right? We can all, this is, Dan's like, what did I do? In general, not you, not me, in general, my wife had to go to the hospital, for a medical doctor's appointment. So she wasn't going to the hospital, it was at the hospital. And some guy at a stop sign, this is at Mercy West or whatever it's called now, I still say Barnes, but some guy, like an old lady is, and she must have like rolled the stop sign. This guy in a pickup like lays on the horn and gives her the finger. And I'm like, what if her husband's in a bed upstairs in ICU? What if she's on her way to her appointment for dementia?
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, that is like the meanest thing
I've
ever
seen. What
did
the lady do? Was she upset?
Or she was not aware.
Oh, okay.
It's possible she shouldn't have been driving in the first place.
Understood.
But I was like, that's just a little too hostile. Keep in mind, you're at the hospital parking lot. Maybe something bad has happened. Maybe they're rushing to see their family member. Who knows? And I said to my wife, okay, that's it. She said, so you're not going to keep honking at people? I'm like, not at the hospital, okay?
Yes.
It was a little aggressive, and I wrote down, everyone could be just a little nicer.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to text you and Jimmy that during the game, okay?
Everybody could be a little bit nicer. Yeah, what do you
think? It's like a Mr. Rogers closing.
Jimmy will, come on, Martin.
I can't be any nicer.
Leave me alone. What do you want?
Love Jimmy, and he would probably share these stories too, but those getaway games when he would come in and look at the lineup and Tony's trying to buy a little time and he would just go, who's playing? Oh, my God. He would look at the lineup sheet while we're all standing there listening.
Yes. That's Jimmy, though.
Oh, Jimmy.
So how do you end our show?
It's been a great talk, Dan.
No, good talk.
Oh, so I was going to elevate it. I'm sorry. Okay.
All right.
Gee, be nicer. Good talk, Dan.